Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Once again, text line, time permitting, we'll get to them. 251-343-0106. Simone, we've all been waiting for. Our returning champion joins us now on the line, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
I am doing great. It is great to be back in South Alabama and back close to the water. I get edgy when I'm away from the water for too long.
You sure it's just not being in that state house building makes everybody sort of on edge, right?
It is a very high tempo environment. It's 3D chess. It's making sure all the pieces fall just where they are or need to be. And it's not a welcoming, relaxing environment. I can promise you that. But it's not supposed to be.
No, but at least it's abbreviated generally. So we'll see if it's abbreviated this year. I suspect it will be. But reflection, or if you will, reaction to this week. What do we need to know?
Man, things are going really well, and I've been really impressed with both the action in the House and the Senate so far this week. Not specifically on the floor, because the first week is kind of loading up the hopper and getting the first couple of weeks planned and things in position. But the behind the scenes committee work, the statements that have been made about priorities, the Speaker's position on fully funding CHOOSE Act is huge. It was something that always concerned me when we put the income limits on to start things out. You know, you gotta crawl before you walk before you run. But I was always worried, are we gonna follow through on our commitments to fully fund this and him being willing to do that? Watching Representative Rhett Marcus work on the floor and in committee to move the mud dumping bill is great. I'm excited about its prospects and how things are working. And then just seeing some of the bills, the good conservative bills that have been filed so far, and with good movement on them, and I'm excited about all of that.
The mud dumping bill is interesting. The fiscal note on it, $65 million. But I saw Todd Stacey about that. He doesn't think that's a big deal at all. He doesn't think that that's going to kill it.
It's not, because it's not really a fiscal note. And I've already talked to LSA about this and the fiscal office about this. If you look at it, it says, we were in a hurry. There was going to be a committee meeting. We reached out to the port and said, what do you think this is going to cost? And so the port, who is opposed to the bill, ginned up some numbers and gave them back, and they put it in the fiscal note. That note will change. This isn't going to cost the state anything. The fiscal note should and needs to be zero, because this is a federally funded project. To the extent state funding is required or offered or needed, we can deal with that then. But this bill does not impact state funding at all.
The bill that's getting some questions that adds protections to elected officials, and I think it's a reaction to what happened in Bay Minette, allegedly, but walk us through that.
Yeah, so, look, there's some legitimate arguments on both sides of this, right, that we shouldn't treat some people differently than others. Got it. That's a legitimate argument. If that's your position, I understand. Look, I got asked by law enforcement to carry this. They're trying to make sure that they protect themselves, firefighters. These are all the folks that are in the bill already, right? Nurses, pharmacists want this protection too, because they are threatened or caught, or accosted, not threatened, but are accosted because of their job. And so when you put yourself out there in one of these lines of work, the thought is you should, the penalty for assaulting you because of who you are and what your job is should be higher, because you are attracting that extra attention or frustration. Look, if somebody doesn't think that's the case, I'm fine with that too. I just want to dissuade folks from attacking and assaulting elected officials, police officers, firefighters, healthcare workers, etc. They ought to not be attacking anyone, but they really ought to not be attacking somebody who's just trying to serve the public.
So, I mean, I guess it's like if you get you say you are a city councilman and you get mugged in somewhere, and it's not because you're a city councilman, it's just because there's some low life mugging people, versus when someone goes down to City Hall and they're going to settle their score in a certain way. I guess it's like trying to find that right balance.
It is. But that Baymanette case is a great one, right? That would not have happened but for the gentleman that got attacked, the city council person that got attacked, being a city council person, right? That was a man who was mad about some city business, went to the councilman's place of business and attacked him. And so when you do that for that purpose, law enforcement's position was there ought to be some enhanced penalties that were commensurate with other penalties for other public servants. And, you know, I concur. If that'll help dissuade somebody from attacking a council person, then let's do it.
Senator, the Alabama High School Athletic Association bill, it's like a one-pager. Can you just walk us through that real quick?
Yeah, so Donnie Chastain has got that bill. I'm the co-sponsor on it. And what it's trying to do is get the High School Athletic Association back where they need to be and back under control. They are out of control right now. The legislature does not want to be running high school sports. The governor does not want to be running high school sports. But what we have seen is a high school athletic association that is absolutely breaking the law and that is not serving children and is turned into a protection racket for educrats. And that's got to stop. And so this bill may be seen by some as an overreaction, but by most as a reaction that is required. I would love nothing more than to pass this bill and then 10 years from now repeal it and get back to competent, capable, well-meaning people that are actually interested in high school sports and kids, and not the coaches and the games that they play and the educrats. If we can get back to focused on kids and getting kids to play ball, we'll be better off.
Yeah, well, and you were talking about the frantic pace of the session. You can hear it in your voice right now. By the way, I had Jamie Keel on Wednesday on the program, and he's carrying the archives bill. Do you think that's that's reasonably got a reasonable chance again this year?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think we're going to get there. We were there last year, but running out of time. There's broad consensus that we need to continue to fight against the woke liberal establishment that is entrenched in the bureaucracy. And so Representative Keel is a good partner for me on that bill. Again, he's got the House version. I've got the Senate version. You and I have been talking about this for 3 years now. And we can't, and we're not going to let the Alabama Department of Archives and History and their lobbyists and all the entrenched ivory tower, bureaucrats continue to spew their woke ideology. And so we're going to get that back in control and at heel, just like it should be.
Yeah, so that looks like that's moving, and downstairs where everything else kind of got hung up upstairs, but downstairs that got hung up. So it's a new day for that. We talked about this going into it. The governor's state of the state, and a couple of takeaways there. But these teacher pay raises happen every year. And I guess they appear to be maybe at best cost of living adjustment raises, but do we seem to be doing that on a regular? I think all but two of Governor Ivey's State of the States have, and she's had a lot of them, have mentioned teacher pay raises. Well, why do we need to think about that?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't surprise you coming from a former educator like Governor Ivey. So we'll throw that out there to begin with. Look, teachers are important, and them being able to be successful and have a respectable wage is important. And so we're going to continue to try to support our teachers. The frustrating part about this is that this is caused by Joe Biden's horrible economic plans that really drove inflation over the years. And so that with the cost of living for everyone going up, that inflation is insidious. It makes everything go up and then it devalues the dollar. And we're seeing the results of that across the board, whether that's teachers, state employees, or private sector folks. Everything costs more because of inflation. And the response to that is, I need more money to have the same purchasing power. But what does that do? It drives inflation as well. And so it's a vicious cycle. And that's why having a president at the top that understands how this is, you know, how the economy works, and that a gimme economy where you just flood the economy with money and cash, printed cash, borrowed cash, it really causes problems for the economy for the long term. And we'll be seeing that, we'll be dealing with this for a decade or more.
Yeah, it's just going to continue and continue on. And I guess we're just going to have to do this until the value of the dollar stabilizes.
That's exactly it. And it's a great example of how one term of crazy can have a decade or more impact on the future. I mean, sound fiscal policy is so important for our country and our state. And it's hard sometimes because it's easy to just say, I want to give everybody everything and I want to just grow and we want to give money away and we want to do PPP loans and we want to do this and we want to do that. Those things just cost so much money. All of the federal money that we've seen in the state of Alabama, I look at that and I look at how much has been spent, and all of that just drives inflation, which makes everything more expensive.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Also had one of your colleagues on Wednesday, April Weaver. She and Matt Simpson, your Bowen County delegation colleague. The death penalty for child sex offenders, I there'll be some hemming and hawing from some of the left-wing groups and probably some of the Democrats, but that's going to get done early here soon, probably next week, wouldn't you think?
I'm glad I'm not a Democrat trying to defend, sex predators and dictators and drug runners and all of that kind of thing. It just drives me nuts. We're going to pass that. If they want to, make a scene out of defending a child sex predator, good luck. But I'm with April Weaver. What did she say? There's a special place in hell for people like that. Good for her. I'm right behind her. And that's exactly what we need to do.
Let's talk about this. The budget's always big in these legislative sessions. And Sarah, we've been hearing that troubled waters are ahead for a while now. And and it goes back to what do we do with the ARPA surplus? Or what do we do with how can we figure out a tax cut or a tax break or something like that? But these budget chairmen are very wedded, and they continue to be very wedded to the idea that there's going to be a bump in the road here with these budgets. Now, I mean, I think y'all are well braced, prepared for any sort of calamity. But what's a realistic sort of a view of what lies ahead, do you think?
We are in fantastic financial shape in the state of Alabama. No question about it. Both budget chairs, all four budget chairs, have done yeoman's work and a fantastic job keeping us in good shape. And by and large, the members of the legislature as well have understood that is our number one priority and something that we need to focus on day in and day out. There's a cliff coming. We need to be prepared for bad things to happen. Spending's going to slow down. Is the woe is me thing a tool that our budget chairmen use on a regular basis to keep other members from going crazy with their requests and trying to get things done? Yes, of course. And so our budget chairs have to balance, right, the actual practice of managing the budget and then managing the members' expectations and keeping us in good shape. And so the message on the budgets is things are great. We've been hugely responsible. The reserve funds are full. Now, are revenues starting to decrease? Yes. Is the rate of increase slowing? Yes. And so we need to watch that. But we need to control the growth of government, and there's nothing better to control the growth of government than having less money to spend. And so I'm happy with where we are. I'm okay with things slowing down a little bit compared to where they were, and I'm certainly okay with cutting out all this federal pass-through spending that has just, again, caused more and more inflation.
And I know we've beaten this topic to death, but we're gonna do it because Speaker Ledbetter was on Wednesday, also on this program, and we're talking about this. The legislature, going back to the 2010 takeover, has really gone out of its way to be responsible and, you know, stash away money for rainy days and do things right, not spend the most conservative projections based on that. And there was something about, like, the way this money was borrowed. It just totally contradicted all that work and all, you know, all of the penny counting and everything like that. And that this is like on everybody's radar, that this bonding for the West Alabama corridor really could negate a lot of the scrimping over the years.
It sure could. It will. I mean, it already has occurred. And so, you know, you're starting to see ALDOT look at projects and say, we can't do that anymore. And you will contend members across this entire state will start seeing that. And it is really frustrating that the next governor and the next governor and the next governor will all look back and say, gosh, if we hadn't encumbered all of the future gas tax revenue, we would be able to do that project or this project, because the governor 20 years ago made a decision to bet it all on the black belt. And that's what she's done. And so it's going to have real opportunity costs. I don't think it's even necessary to debate the merits of the project.
Right.
It would be the same if it was any one project anywhere else in the state. It's just an awful lot of everything in one spot and at a huge opportunity cost for other projects.
Senator, got to leave it there, but we always appreciate your time, and I'm sure I'll see you again next week.
Thanks for having me on. Sorry I'm excited, but it's the first week, and I'm geared up.
All right, well, get some rest. Get the nerves under control there.
You got it.
All right, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. It's my life. Oh, so right.